In a world where the average attention span has plummeted from 3 minutes to just 45 seconds in a decade, Brian Solis' Life Scale arrives as both a diagnosis and remedy for our collective digital affliction. This book has become required reading in Silicon Valley, where tech executives grapple with the unintended consequences of their creations. Ironically, Solis himself, a digital analyst and anthropologist who once championed social media's potential, found himself unable to focus long enough to write an article about focus. This personal crisis became the catalyst for a journey that would resonate with millions struggling with the same invisible epidemic. The book has influenced workplace policies at companies like Microsoft and Google, which now implement digital wellness programs based on Solis's principles. With endorsements from productivity experts like Cal Newport and mindfulness advocates like Arianna Huffington, LifeScale bridges the gap between our technological reality and our human need for deep connection and creativity. We weren't prepared for the digital onslaught that would reshape our minds and behaviors. Like early cigarette users unaware of addiction risks, we embraced technologies without understanding their potential to hijack our attention. What began as tools for connection and productivity have become sophisticated mechanisms of manipulation. Our attention has become the most valuable commodity in the digital economy. As Solis confesses, he initially championed Web 2.0 and social media before recognizing how these platforms were being weaponized against our well-being. Tech leaders capitalized on human vulnerabilities through manipulation rather than inspiration. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings even boasted that sleep was their competitor, proudly declaring, "We're winning." Digital platforms employ persuasive design techniques pioneered by Stanford's BJ Fogg to influence behavior through psychological triggers that release dopamine and other neurochemicals. These techniques include intermittent variable rewards, like slot machines, social reciprocity, feeling obligated to respond, and anticipation of interaction, those typing dots in messaging apps. Companies increasingly use AI and neuroscience to make products more addictive, leading many tech insiders to become whistleblowers about the harmful effects they've helped create. The cognitive costs are severe. Experts recommend spending 25 minutes to 2 hours on focused work, but our typical digital behaviors make this impossible. Our brains need nearly 24 minutes to refocus after a distraction, yet we constantly interrupt ourselves. What we think of as multitasking is actually rapid toggling between tasks, depleting neural resources with each switch. This task switching wastes time and energy, attacks output quality, causing a 40% productivity loss, makes us mistake-prone, hinders intellectual processes, causes stress by triggering cortisol production, and ultimately makes us miss out on life through what psychologists call inattentional blindness. Perhaps most troubling is our complicity in this addiction. We've embraced distraction as a value, even taking pride in our ability to manage it. Distractions serve as welcome escapes from difficult tasks, loneliness, fear, and insecurity. As Blaise Pascal observed centuries ago, all men's miseries derive from not being able to sit in a quiet room alone. We use distractions to temporarily avoid confronting problems in our lives. But awareness marks the beginning of change. Now conscious of how digital capitalism manipulates our minds, we stand at a crossroads. We can transform FOMO, fear of missing out, to finally over missing out. We weren't put on this planet to validate our existence through strangers' approval. We're more important than any number of likes or followers can attest. Learning to concentrate again requires establishing positive and productive daily routines. High-quality work is a function of both time spent and intensity of focus. Increasing focus ignites creativity and helps accomplish more in less time while improving quality. Procrastination is a subconscious attempt to avoid unpleasant emotions stirred up by tasks. Whether fear, anxiety, shame, or FOMO, avoidance behaviors provide momentary reprieve but ultimately intensify negative emotions. The solution isn't simple time management, but changing how we perceive the pain of avoided tasks while envisioning the pleasure of completion. Mental projection helps visualize tangible benefits and feelings from timely, exceptional delivery rather than focusing on negative attributes. As Muhammad Ali said, "I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit, suffer now, and live the rest of your life as a champion." Prioritizing important projects at the beginning of your day leverages your brain's morning sharpness. Research shows our brains are actually bigger in the morning. The Montreal Neurological Institute found the brain shrinks throughout the day, returning to full size next morning. Like a sponge, it begins fully hydrated due to fluid redistribution during sleep. By starting with emails, meetings, and calls, we waste our peak mental capacity, leaving important creative work for when we're depleted of initiative, imagination, and drive. Multitasking severely damages productivity. We have two attention networks, a conscious system for focusing on tasks and an unconscious network vulnerable to distraction. With mobile users receiving upwards of 200 notifications daily, these interruptions create information overload in compounding microdosings. Research shows task switching adds 25% to completion time. To combat this, turn off all notifications, use Do Not Disturb mode, clean up your desktop, and close unnecessary windows and apps during focused work sessions. Strategic breaks revitalize focus throughout the day. Rather than checking email or notifications during breaks, do something personally rewarding. Stretch, exercise, take a quick walk, connect with someone special, or simply recall a joyful event. These positive activities refresh your mind before returning to your creative work. Working in short, focused sprints helps overcome distraction habits. The Pomodoro technique breaks work into manageable 25-minute sessions with 5-minute breaks between them. After 4 sessions, take a longer 15 to 30-minute break. As discipline builds, gradually increase sprint duration, from 25 minutes to 40 or 52 minutes, based on desk time research showing the most productive workers follow this pattern, and eventually to 90-minute cycles that align with Nathaniel Kleitman's basic rest activity cycle research on our natural productivity rhythms. Creativity isn't just for geniuses or the gifted, it's essential for everyone. When we engage creatively, we challenge our minds, enhance critical thinking, solve problems, and discover new opportunities. Unlike distractions that waste time, creativity seems to stop time through deep work and flow states. It opens us to empathy, stimulates reflection, builds self-confidence, and gives voice to unexplored parts of ourselves. We all begin as artists in childhood, freely expressing our creativity while our masterpieces hung on refrigerators and school walls. As Pablo Picasso noted, every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once we grow up. Creative thinking teaches us that missteps are essential for discovery. As Scott Adams said, creativity is allowing yourself to make mistakes. Art is knowing which ones to keep. Though we all possess a deep well of creativity, many of us have lost connection to it as we've aged, forgetting the dreamers and adventurers we once were. Sir Ken Robinson defines creativity as original ideas that have value. By failing to nurture imagination, we rob the world of this value when it's most needed. Robinson warns, "We don't grow into creativity, we grow out of it, or rather, we get educated out of it." Society often dismisses creative pursuits as impractical career paths, yet many brilliant people don't recognize their talents because what they excelled at wasn't valued in school. As automation threatens many jobs, Deutsche Bank predicting half its workforce could be replaced by robots, creativity becomes essential for survival. McKinsey research shows technical work is easily automated, while work requiring imagination, creative thinking, and strategy remains uniquely human. The good news is creativity isn't just an innate gift. It can be learned and developed by anyone willing to rekindle their creative spirit. Creativity isn't bound by age. It's an age-defying elixir we can all access. Sophia Loren called creativity a fountain of youth found in our minds and talents. Dr. Jean Cohen's research shows seniors who take on creative challenges are healthier, less depressed, and visit doctors less frequently. Conversely, suppressing creativity can lead to grief, rage, and depression. A 2016 study found that creative activities increase well-being and lead to flourishing, creating an upward spiral where creativity and happiness reinforce each other. To rekindle your creativity, reconnect with your younger self. Start by mentally traveling back to when you overflowed with ideas and didn't like following rules. Remember what you enjoyed as a child and what you wished you'd done. Ask questions constantly: why, what if, and how can we? Letting your curiosity run wild. Schedule actual playtime. Visit playgrounds, fly kites, build sandcastles, watch cartoons. Find creative projects regardless of talent. Paint, write, play music, cook. Just create regularly. Express yourself authentically through your clothes, activities, and thoughts. Be courageous, as fear of failure kills creativity while taking chances fuels it. The pursuit of happiness is often misunderstood. We must distinguish between lowercase happiness, fleeting pleasure, and uppercase happiness, a life rich in purpose. Our pleasure-seeking society teaches us that sensory bursts are meaningful. But temporary pleasures, wonderful meals, vacations, bonuses, are like chemical stimulants that quickly fade. The H happiness trap occurs when we create mental lists of things we think we need to be happy, yet these often aren't what we actually need. This leads to living a charade, pretending to love our lives while feeling increasingly dissatisfied. We've been conditioned to seek attention, validation, and approval from others, even strangers on social media, putting our happiness in others' hands. But happiness isn't a zero-sum game won by being more impressive than others. The pursuit of happiness often leads us into a perverse trap where we place our happiness in others' hands, especially through social media validation. This mindset creates a cycle where fleeting emotional highs from likes and retweets become addictive, yet ultimately unsatisfying. Psychological research shows that actively pursuing happiness can actually make us less happy. Instead, experts suggest pursuing meaning is key to a fulfilling life. As Martin Seligman explains, meaning comes from belonging to and serving something beyond yourself, and from developing the best within you. Authentic happiness isn't tied to possessions, social approval, or temporary escapes. It's a mindset, a process, a journey entirely within our power. It flows from appreciating life's meaningful experiences and pursuing what truly matters to us. Happiness isn't a destination we arrive at, but a way of life requiring daily effort. As Dr. Sonia Lubomirsky notes, making yourself happier is like losing weight. You must put in consistent effort. The first step toward choosing happiness is understanding what genuinely makes us happy and clarifying our values. Our values serve as the guideposts that help us navigate life's challenges and opportunities. They represent the underlying fabric of our relationships, work, and decisions. When we lose touch with our core values, we begin making poor choices that pull us further from what truly matters, often in such small increments that we don't notice our moral drift until significant damage is done. Values are the foundation that guide our behavior and decisions across all aspects of life. They provide warmth in good times and light during difficulties, keeping us true to ourselves. As Leo C. Rosten observed, "I cannot believe that the purpose of life is to be happy. I think the purpose of life is to be useful, to be responsible, to be honorable, to be compassionate." By living according to our values, we can achieve the deeper happiness we truly seek. To clarify the values that should guide us, we need structured reflection. First, identify times when you were happiest, examining what you were doing, who you were with, and what values were present. Second, recall your saddest or most difficult moments, considering what happened and what values helped you move forward. Third, organize these values in a matrix. Finally, review a comprehensive list of common values to identify additional ones that resonate with you. This process helps reveal the disconnect between the character we believe we project and the one that actually shows up during important life events. After gathering potential values from a detailed list containing hundreds of options, organize them into thematic groups, maximum 5. Select representative values from each group and ultimately narrow down to 5-10 core values ranked by importance. The exercise culminates in writing personalized values commitments, action statements that describe how you'll fulfill each value in your life. As Roy Disney noted, it's not hard to make decisions when you know what your values are. These values commitments become guideposts for decision-making and creating alignment with our authentic selves as we move toward crafting a purpose statement. We must break free from our me-centered universe, what Solis calls accidental narcissism, where we constantly filter experiences through the lens of what's the impact on me? Professor Srikumar Rao warns that living primarily in this egocentric mindset leads to a mediocre, frustrated existence punctuated with flashes of pleasure. The escape route requires finding a cause greater than ourselves that benefits a larger community. The first step is developing genuine self-awareness, recognizing the gap between how we see ourselves and how we actually behave. While 95% of people believe they're self-aware, research shows only 10 to 15% truly are. Cultivating authentic self-awareness brings numerous benefits: more positive thinking, greater compassion, conscious rather than reactive behavior, and even professional success. Psychologist Tasha Urich reveals a crucial mistake in our pursuit of self-awareness: we're asking the wrong questions. When seeking understanding, we instinctively ask why questions. Why is this happening to me? Or why can't I focus? While this seems logical, we've been conditioned since childhood that why questions lead to understanding, this approach to introspection actually increases stress and depression, making us feel less in control rather than more. Instead of asking why, truly self-aware people ask what questions. What's important to me? What situations make me feel terrible? What is my purpose right now? These forward-looking questions move us productively toward solutions rather than keeping us trapped looking backward. This shift requires mindfulness, the ability to observe and redirect our thoughts away from the ego system's natural default of self-centeredness. As David Foster Wallace noted, without conscious decisions about what to pay attention to, we remain trapped in the certainty that everything is about us. In our distracted world, finding mental silence is essential for focus and fulfillment. We must learn to quiet mental chatter, that incessant strain of thoughts constantly diverting our attention from the present moment. While some mental chatter can be helpful, most is negative and unproductive, depleting our brain's energy and fostering unhealthy behaviors. One of distraction's most harmful effects is that we rarely live entirely in the moment. Instead, we're constantly toggling between worrying about the past or future and our present reality. As Martin Farquhar Tupper quipped, many people suffer from troubles that never actually happen. This mental chatter, our incessant internal monologue, constantly diverts our attention, depletes our mental energy, and fosters negative emotional states. The Mayo Clinic notes that excessive planning, problem-solving, or random thoughts increases stress, anxiety, and depression symptoms. When we quiet this chatter by centering in the present moment, we experience a calming effect that's both uplifting and restorative. The paradox of time is that it always passes and never returns, yet through distraction, we let this precious resource slip away. We can reclaim it by cultivating mindfulness, an active, open, intentional attention on the present. Mindful people experience numerous benefits. They're happier, more secure, empathetic, and alert. They sleep better, experience less professional burnout, have stronger self-esteem, and feel more gratitude, one of the most powerful sources of authentic happiness. Mindfulness also enables creativity by freeing mental energy from chatter and distraction. As Harvard psychologist Ellen Langer notes, when people are not in the moment, they're not there to know that they're not there. Despite initially dismissing meditation as an overhyped spiritual fad, Solis discovered its true value through research. Meditation isn't about celebrity endorsements or wellness trends, it's about looking within and discovering ourselves. As Swami Rama explains, from childhood onward, we have been educated only to examine and verify things in the external world. No one has taught us how to look within. Therefore, we remain strangers to ourselves. His 13-step meditation practice offers a structured approach. Find a quiet space, sit with a straight back, relax your body, focus on breath, observe thoughts without reacting to them, and practice patience and honesty. This process helps clear mental complexes, biases, and unproductive habits. I've been redefining what success means to me, with the understanding that a mindful, empathetic, and present life is the foundation of success as a process rather than a plateau of achievement. Success and happiness must be fundamentally entwined. Sacrificing happiness for success, thinking material wealth will make us happy later, leads to disappointment. I spent most of my life chasing someone else's definition of success, constantly raising the bar and finding that each achievement became the new normal. It was exhausting because I sought satisfaction based on others' views of me, accumulating psychological props rather than true fulfillment. How do you define success? Is it by job title, income, assets, or status? The formula many of us learned, go to college, work hard, get married, buy a house, save money, is ironically generic despite being told you can do anything. Success without happiness is meaningless, but mindful attention to what we truly value can make our pursuit of happiness lead to success, which kindles further happiness, as long as we're defining success on our terms. The stuff we accumulate often weighs on us, creating pressure to maintain and use it. Much becomes emotional baggage that fails to give joy while constantly reminding us of its opportunity costs in lost family time and leisure. Not all possessions are burdensome. Some remind us of good times or embody who we are, like old guitars that now bring joy again. To release yourself from burdensome baggage, you must unpack everything and decide what to take forward and what to leave behind. As Thich Nhat Hanh said, letting go gives us freedom, and freedom is the only condition for happiness. To redefine success, first take inventory of your baggage, material possessions, and indicators of achievement, and assess what they meant when you acquired them versus now. Second, identify what's become emotional baggage, including positive dreams that may need to be temporarily set aside to maintain focus. Third, give yourself permission to let go of things holding you back. As Matthew McConaughey challenged graduates, ask yourself what success means to you, whether it's money, family, helping others, or spiritual soundness. Don't choose anything that jeopardizes your soul. You are the author of your life. You can follow worn scripts for success or define your own standards by gaining clarity about your purpose. Finding your life's purpose is a profoundly personal, mindful process that requires answering, what can I do with my time that is mindful, important, and meaningful to give creativity, love, knowledge, peace, and joy to others and myself? Your dreams are too precious to let anyone or anything keep you from them, including yourself. Stop doubting, stop thinking about reasons why not, and break the cycle. While we're often told that finding purpose requires venturing out into the world, waiting for serendipity to strike, I challenge you to look within instead. With the average American lifespan being 78.7 years, 28,725 sunrises, how many do you have left? This humbling reality should spark motivation to define your own purpose rather than waiting for lightning to strike. Purpose isn't just a rationale for existence, it's the life force that energizes you, fosters strength across all dimensions, and separates mediocrity from greatness. Purpose offers orientation when we feel lost amid waves of distraction. Research shows a clear sense of purpose makes us less vulnerable to psychological discord, that unease when our attention isn't engaged. Purpose enhances self-esteem, pulls us out of harmful self-focus, and connects us to something larger. According to researchers, four main experiences foster purpose: physical and mental well-being, belonging and recognition, personally treasured activities, and spiritual connectedness. Living purposefully is an ongoing journey of constant growth. As McConaughey said in his Oscar speech, he needs three things daily: something to look up to, something to look forward to, and something to chase, his hero being himself in 10 years. Writing out your purpose helps you decide how to spend your time daily, serving as your North Star while you continue to evolve. Creating a purpose statement requires transforming your reflections into a clear, actionable declaration. Great examples include Oprah Winfrey's commitment to teaching and inspiring students, Richard Branson's dedication to enjoying life while bringing out the best in others, and Amanda Sternberg's mission to cultivate women's self-worth. Effective purpose statements are specific and actionable, not vague. Now that we've defined our purpose, we need to energize our pursuit with positivity. The true power comes when our dreams become so vivid internally that they reshape our external reality. Dreaming is merely the spark. Achievement requires the fire of positive energy we bring to our pursuits. Though our brains are hardwired with a negativity bias, remembering negative experiences more vividly than positive ones, we can override this through intentional positivity. This isn't about denial. Positive thinking means incorporating both positive and negative into our perspective while choosing optimism. We can't control our thoughts or moods, but we can choose how we handle them. The benefits are profound: increased productivity, decreased burnout, improved creativity, better psychological well-being, and even better physical health. By cultivating a growth mindset rather than a fixed one, we view our skills as malleable abilities rather than constant traits. Through neuroplasticity, we can actually reshape our brains through intentional thought patterns, creating new mental models that give us fresh ways to see the world. Positive thinking's true power comes not from mystical universal rewards, but from how it trains our minds to be more open to opportunities and guides our actions. The law of attraction suggests like attracts like, a concept taught by Buddha who emphasized our power to translate thoughts and actions into reality. Our emotional states radiate outward, whether we realize it or not, as humans are finely tuned to perceive emotions. We can choose to be intentional about what we're broadcasting rather than allowing impulsive reactions. As for luck, psychologist Richard Wiseman's 10-year study found that people largely make their own fortune. Lucky people create and notice opportunities, make decisions by listening to intuition, create self-fulfilling prophecies through positive expectations, and transform bad luck into good with resilience. As Thomas Jefferson reportedly said, "I am a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it." Visualization is the powerful practice of creating vivid mental images of desired outcomes that serve as compelling motivators. Unlike merely thinking positively about results, effective visualization involves envisioning both the outcome and the process of achievement. This practice helps anticipate challenges, prepare for setbacks, and maintain belief in your goals. The visualization process begins with writing a detailed description of your desired future state, then bringing it to life through images. After creating your written vision, the next step is creating a vision board, a visual representation of your life goals using images, words, and phrases that inspire you. This can be done with physical materials or digitally. Vision boards work not through supernatural means, by igniting hope and motivation. Vision boards must be paired with concrete action plans to be truly effective. Research shows people who write out their goals and action steps are 80% more likely to achieve them. Studies reveal that visualizing the process, how you'll achieve goals, is more effective than simply visualizing the outcome. For each goal on your vision board, create an action list with incremental, measurable steps. To transform visualization into creative productivity, we must learn to dive deep into meaningful work rather than merely treading water amid distractions. Many of us snorkel rather than scuba dive in our creative endeavors, falsely believing deep work requires excessive time commitment. In reality, we need to master switching between shallow tasks and profound creative depths. Creating a routine and maintaining discipline forms the foundation of greatness. We must fiercely protect scheduled deep work time against the cult of busyness that glorifies constant activity as productivity. The author recommends establishing a dedicated space away from regular distractions, like J.K. Rowling booking a hotel room to finish Harry Potter, setting specific session durations with clear output goals, and constructing a creativity support system with all necessary tools and comforts. These rituals make deep work possible and build creative muscles that eventually allow focused work even in less than ideal environments. After developing the ability to work deeply in dedicated spaces, try working in collaborative environments. Cal Newport's hub and spoke model places you among people with diverse skill sets, mindsets, and goals, creating a stimulating creative atmosphere while maintaining individual focus. Open workspaces provide talent pools where creativity buzzes and serendipitous encounters lead to inspiration and collaboration. To make time for deep work, implement extremely strict prioritization, eliminating non-essential obligations and time sucks. Facebook VP Fiji Simo exemplifies this approach. During 5 months of bed rest, she became more productive by saying no to anything non-critical. Her methods include scheduling every aspect of work, including buffer time for interruptions, concentrating deep work on the most important projects, conducting regular clarity check-ins to review priorities, setting clear agendas for meetings, and making time for personal creative expression. Building focus is like holding your breath. Practice increases capacity. With rigorous time for deep work, you create conditions for flow, complete involvement, ecstasy beyond everyday reality, inner clarity, confidence in your skills, lack of self-consciousness, timelessness, and intrinsic motivation. As Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi explains, flow is a state in which people are so involved in an activity that nothing else seems to matter. In flow, our nervous system, capable of processing only 110 bits per second, becomes fully engaged with the creative task, leaving no capacity for distractions. To evaluate your progress in developing creative productivity, devise a way to measure return on your time and mental resources. Create a simple creativity scorecard that tracks daily and weekly achievements against your goals. Cal Newport compares working deeply to business governance, carefully allocating investments to maximize returns. Even something as simple as tracking word count can provide powerful motivation. Measuring progress not only inspires, but helps calibrate goals with current skills, facilitating flow state. As Csikszentmihalyi states, the point is to be happy while doing things that stretch our skills, that help us grow and fulfill our potential. Though reaching the end of the book, this is not the end of the life scaling journey. The process charts a path that continues to spark imagination and inspire brighter futures. Creativity becomes not just what you create, but why you create, guided by purpose, values, self-reflection, and consciousness. These elements unlock experiences and opportunities that might otherwise remain hidden. The author couldn't have written this book without life scaling. The process transformed their writing experience, allowing them to write with a passion and depth they hadn't experienced in years. They produced so much content that over 50,000 words were cut from the first draft, about the length of the final book. The creative momentum was so powerful that when not writing, they found themselves seeking additional creative outlets, having fallen back in love with learning and self-expression. Life scaling is a personal exploration into what clouds our being and an endeavor toward discovery and vitality. It's an individual covenant to see, learn, and practice what allows you to live your best life. The more you know, the more you grow. The more you create, the more you want to create. Each iteration of yourself sees and feels things the previous version could not. Life scaling evolves as you evolve. It's about finding happiness and evolution and gaining skills to navigate through distractions. It's clarity and vision, openness and mindfulness, intent and focus leading to daily accomplishments that accumulate into meaningful achievements throughout your journey.